back and be with you this morning, this sort of getting less gray morning. But this is actually one of my favorite times of year. So when I was a kid, about this time of year, one of my favorite things to do was every night we would drive around at least for a few minutes and try to find some really amazing Christmas lights to look at in our town. So between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we would just kind of scour the city a little bit each night looking for the best, the most breathtaking, the most over-the-top light displays that we could find. And to this day, I can still tell you where my favorite one was growing up. It was kind of on this little dark road that you almost wouldn't even know was there, except that it was lit up like an airport this time of year, because this person would put out, it was like they had constructed the entire North Pole on their lawn. So there was these they made with like plywood houses. There was a conveyor belt that put these little presents down into Santa's sleigh. There was moving carousels. There was elves that popped out from behind the trees. This was this magical wonderland. So it didn't seem to matter what was going on in my life at that time, because for a moment I could catch this childlike wonder. It was kind of magical. And I'm not the only one who did this, I'm sure. In fact, I just saw a show on public television this last week where they have now this light competition. They'll pit houses against each other and see who has the best light display. It's called Light Wars, if you want to find it on PBS. And the thing is, though, that it's not just those over-the-top North Pole displays that wowed me. I think even just those small, simple show of twinkling lights in the dark, dark winter has a way to kind of stir us, or at least it does me. What I didn't quite realize when I was younger was that this practice of putting out lights in the dark, whether it's Santa or even a simple small display, is actually pretty deeply spiritual. Many of our faith traditions or spiritual tradition dance with these themes of light and darkness. This season in particular, we have several holidays that converge in these dark winter nights. So just recently, those in the Jewish faith walked through Hanukkah, the eight-night festival of lights. Soon, we will be approaching the winter solstice, the longest night of the year. And Shelby tells me that those in the pagan tradition will celebrate this Yule by welcoming back in the sunlight, the increasingly longer days, and the birth of a new solar year. And while it's not probably historically likely that Jesus was born in December, the Christian church has chosen to place the celebration of Jesus' birth in this time of year, likely to borrow from these pagan themes of waiting for light in the darkness, by likening that waiting to waiting for the birth of Christ, the birth of Christ being like a birth of light into the world. So Advent, the Christian season leading up to Christmas Day, is this time of waiting for that light of Christ, much like solstice or Yule might be observed by waiting for the return of sunlight. The rhythms of nature, the changing season, these remind us that light will return, even as the nights are very long. And various spiritual traditions speak to the truth of light triumphing or shining in the darkness. So whether or not you follow any of these traditions or the seasons, I do think that all people can find a teaching in this seasonal practice of waiting and longing and bringing more light into darkness. It's my belief that even in these dark, dark nights, there is a present hope that the light will return and that the darkness does not overcome even the dim, flickering lights. For some of us, that might be the light of Christ. For others, the light of love or consciousness. For all of us, we'll see the literal return of sunlight, of course. Regardless of what light means to you, this wintry time, I think, offers us a chance to practice cultivating hope in darkness. This season offers us a chance to look ahead, to look head on directly into the darkness, and yet find and rekindle the light. It's a season where we can learn to dance with that tension of the reality of darkness and yet the hope that light will return. I don't think this is being overly idealistic or naive, but rather I think this is choosing to live and practice hope in a way that is actually an active choice of resistance. I don't need to tell you that there is a great deal of pain and darkness in our world. You only need to turn on the news and see that it is right here in our own backyards, in our nation's leaders, and at our borders. Much of this darkness that we see around us is stuff that we have as humans created. Darkness exists in systems of oppression, violence, hatred, and neglect. For me, this season of contemplating light in darkness offers me the chance to find hope by being part of the light and part of the resistance to the darkness that plays out between humans. Part of my practice during this season, then, is to ask myself, how can I be a light in the darkness? Do I live my life in a way that brings more love and consciousness into the world? Do I examine my places of privilege and actively seek to dismantle the darkness of systemic oppression? How can I be a light that shines to cast out the darkness and resist oppression? This season is one where I remind myself to look for the light that others are shining as well. Even in this time, I find hope as I see a stirring of resistance to oppression. I see people who are engaging, maybe who weren't so much doing so in the past. More and more, each person lights the torch of another, and the light of love and justice grows brighter in the darkness. The season of practicing hope, practicing being the light in the darkness, is also one that teaches me persistence. As much as I wish it were so, this metaphorical light in the darkness usually doesn't burst onto the scene like those spectacular Christmas light displays. We can't just flip a switch and everything changes. More often, it's a gradual waiting, longing, and working to bring in the light. So for example, we might mark a noticeable moment like solstice and the turning point of the returning of the sun, but we know that it is going to be a gradual returning of the light. It grows brighter each day as we move towards spring and summer. Bringing light takes intentional practice. A practice that we can cultivate during this dark season. Anne Lamott, in her book Grace Eventually, writes, "I wish grace and healing were more of an abracadabra thing. Also that delicate bells would ring to announce grace's arrival. But no, it's cog, clog, and slog, and scooch on the floor in silence in the dark." This season is a time when we can choose resistance of darkness and practice persistence in our hope. It would be really easy to get tired right about now. But as we do, I find as we practice these practices of cultivating light and illumination, we see these key points where a flicker of light shines in. Find that we have to hold on to those moments of hope. that gives us those ability to persist even when we're tired. Maybe this practice of choosing hope is even more important when we look at those areas of darkness where we may not see change, or maybe that we can't control. How do we find light and hope in places of darkness where we can't simply be the change or be the light? There are many times when we face pain that we cannot change, or that we may not see change anytime soon. But I do think that we can cultivate light and hope even in those times, even in these times. One of my spiritual teachers talks to us about being so centered in our own sense of being that we are able to be okay even when things are not okay. For me, this comes in meditation and in spiritual practices that allow me to feel connected to the divine. For others, it might be cultivating love or connection or fanning the flame of your own inner light. I saw a news story this week about a woman, her name's Sunny Jacobs, and she speaks about her experience of cultivating light in what seems to me to be unimaginable darkness. She shares her experience of being falsely convicted and imprisoned. And she says this: "It was in that very place, when I felt the most hopeless, that I realized I still had a choice. I didn't have to see it the way that they saw it, that I was locked up, a prisoner, waiting on them to take my life. In fact, while I was still living and breathing, I was in charge of my life. I may not be in charge of my circumstances, but my life still belongs to me, and I could still choose what I wanted to do with it." She goes on to tell us that she decides to focus on doing her own spiritual work in this time, and in her words, to turn her cell into a sanctuary. "I chose to believe in hope rather than hopelessness. That's what they wanted me to believe." And while she was eventually released from prison, she said that even then she had to relearn how to practice this hopefulness in a new situation with new challenges. But that ultimately she would not let life circumstances or other people make her a victim. And as she ended her time on this new story, she began to sing, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Personally, I can't imagine the kind of strength that she found to practice hope, to find light in that particular kind of darkness. I certainly believe that some are further on this path than I am, and that there are times when maybe we don't find it. I do find, though, that the more that I practice, be it in this season of wintry darkness or at other times, that I am increasingly able to be okay, even when it feels like things are not okay. I haven't faced that kind of darkness that she has. For me, what seems to be the ever-present challenge or darkness the last couple of years is facing what feels like a dark political night. So I have times when I wake up as a transgender person in Trump's America to discover new attacks on my rights, to see that our leadership, kind of want to put that in quotation marks, our elected officials are trying to even define me out of existence. And I don't know if he will succeed. I don't know what might happen to my access to healthcare or legal protections. I don't know if or when things will be okay. I do know that I won't also let them take my hope. I won't let them take my joy. This, too, is an act of resistance. Some days are harder than others. And for me, I find it takes practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing, cultivating that light. Friends help. Community helps. What I didn't know when I was younger was just how much I would grow up to need all those flickering Santa Clauses and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeers and even brief, tiny little reeds on the door in the midst of these cold, wintry nights. It's not necessarily about Santa Claus and elves for me anymore, but instead it's this seasonal, yearly reminder to dance with the darkness of life, to have the audacity to practice hope as I light my, be it much simpler, Christmas decorations each night. Every year we walk through cold, dark nights and have the opportunity to practice looking for light, even if sometimes faint and glimmering only in the distance. Each year we find that the light returns. The days grow longer, the candles still burn, and the light continues to shine in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. So I invite you in the next days, weeks, in whatever tradition or no tradition, to practice that, cultivating your own inner light, to fan each other's flames of light and love, and maybe our world might just get a little brighter.
Thank you, Kim. Always a good reminder that in such times of dismay and darkness, that